Welcome to the Enneagram 2.0 podcast. I'm Beatrice Chestnut.
And I'm Udano Pais.
And today we are talking about something that might be a little bit controversial or scandalous, but we really wanted to talk about the Enneagram types of world leaders.
Mostly from today, but also from yesterday.
And we want to offer a big disclaimer before we do this podcast, and that is that a lot of people say you shouldn't type famous people, that you can never know because you're not inside the person's head. You shouldn't type others generally. Also, of course, people have differing opinions, and we want to focus on world leaders, and therefore we're going to also be talking a bit about politics and the world situation today and in recent years. And we want to make it really clear that we're not saying that we know for sure with absolute certainty what the types are of the people we'll be talking about. And we also know that, yeah, it's not good to say you know somebody's Enneagram type. So again, when we express our opinions, they're only that, our opinions. And, you know, they're educated guesses based on looking at some of the evidence. In some cases of some figures, we feel a little bit more certain about our opinions than others. Some are more speculative. Some are more based on research and paying a lot of attention to current events. But we kind of wanted to just have a little bit of fun and just explore the different types of these people as partly as a learning experience or as a way of talking or teaching about the Enneagram types, and also partly just to have a conversation and to invite you, the listener, into the conversation to think about how the different types and subtypes express themselves. Through examples of people we all know. And of course, we know them at differing levels, and we have differing political opinions. And we're in no way wanting to alienate anyone who has a different opinion than we do, either about somebody's type or about politics. We wanted to allow ourselves a little bit of freedom to have an informal conversation with you as part of that. But we really want to have this very strong disclaimer that we don't want to alienate anyone because they have a different opinion than we do. It's totally fine. And we just think sometimes it's really great to have kind of a free-flowing discussion about the Enneagram, about types, about the subtypes, how they show up in different ways at different levels of development. So we wanted to give ourselves some freedom to express our opinion a little bit more than maybe we sometimes do, because we do want to be careful to be very inclusive and not say that we absolutely know the truth. We don't. So we want to really let you know that we are coming from a place of humility and saying, when we express our opinion, it's just an opinion. It's just something that we believe based on our experience and maybe some research, but it's not that we're saying we know the absolute truth about anyone other than ourselves. Anything you would add to that?
This is indeed a very important disclaimer. And because you explained it so well and you were very careful, I'll just add a note on the other side of it, which is, we not always agree with opinions from other people, other teachers, and mainly, you know, in Facebook forums and so on, with what people say some of these leaders and Enneagram types are. And we wanted to add our own opinion. I don't know you, B, but for me, one thing that's a little bit disturbing at times, it sort of pisses me off, is that people stereotype jobs or social positions as if some types couldn't be part of that. Like people don't see, for instance, when a world leader is a 2 or a 4, because they assume these types can't be world leaders. And I totally disagree with this. It's not what I see. So, yeah, I think we'll make some points indirectly about this. And most of all, I think you and I couldn't hold, you know,
we wanted to back.
Talk, we couldn't talk, we wanted to talk about this. And we always do, we like talking about politics and world subjects, but especially as right now, when we are in between retreats and workshops that are really deep with our students, one of our ways to decompress is by talking about things that we simply like. We go read more news and so on. So here we are. We try to talk about what's in our minds each time also.
Yes. And when we do have some downtime, I know both of us like to read news articles, magazine articles, listen to podcasts. I've listened to two this morning on political topics. And so it makes us think about all these things. And we wanted to just have a talk about all this.
And sometimes it's nice that you and I read quite a bit of that. But some of our sources are different from the other ones.
Right.
And I think it's complementary. And so here we are.
And of course, you're from Brazil. You're from South America. I'm from the United States. And that gives us different perspectives. And and in many times, you'll have a more educated opinion than I will. And mainly, I want to say when I'm not really sure. It's just a guess often. But again, sometimes guessing or talking about somebody's Enneagram type is one of the ways we learn about what those types are all about.
Right. So where do you want to start? What part of the world and what point in history in the timeline?
I say we start with right now with, you know, because current events, there's so much going on in the world. And
do you want to start with the war in Ukraine?
I guess we could start with that. It's on everyone's minds. I know it's on my mind. And that's a lot of what I'm reading about these days. It's so important in terms of, I think, just many different dimensions of our experience today. Right. And of course, we've mentioned this before in a previous podcast that, you know, one of the things that we believe causes wars, you know, and of course, what's going on in Ukraine is really horrific just in terms of the level of human suffering. I think part of why we do what we do is to raise human consciousness, to be able to rise above the ego. And of course, being really, really, really in the ego, driven by the ego, is, I believe, what causes wars, because it's the extreme of being in your own viewpoint and not having empathy for others and needing to go against or even become violent in the service of your self-interest or your own perspective on the world or on your country or on whatever it is. So one of the reasons I think we want to raise consciousness in general, and I think just having discussions, even when we disagree with people, hopefully we can have more conversations with people we disagree with, because of course, part of the problem that happens is when people don't talk to each other and they get, of course, there's so much polarization in the world. But yeah, let's start with today. So who would you want to talk about first?
I would like to talk about Volodymyr Zelensky from Ukraine. You know, in one of our recent episodes, I think the Enneagram in Times of War episode, I expressed that he could be a social 7, but perhaps a social 2. And, you know, with this time that I gave myself to observe him and see him, especially his images, but also his speeches, I'm way more leaning towards social 2 for him.
Interesting.
And I see that he, you know, some of his personal qualities are empathy, a really big empathy, and he adapts so easily to each situation, and he makes sure that he is very emotional in all his approaches, and he talks always about what he's feeling. And just the way that he adapts his storytelling for each parliament in the world that he talks to.
Or different audiences.
And you know, connecting his speech to things that those people went through. I don't think it's just him having been an actor. I think it's his personality. And I could say more, but that's just my guess. I think he's a social 2. And I think that Putin, probably you and I agree, he's a 6. And I had some doubts if he would be a sexual six or a social six, but I think he's a sexual six. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a sexual six, probably with social second. And it's interesting. I have a good friend who's a sexual six. And when he took an Enneagram test, he actually tested as a five. And Putin reminds me of a little bit like a sexual six who can sometimes look like a five because of secrecy and things like that. I was reading an article the other day about how Putin's family members, like his ex-wife and his mistress and his daughters, they live in other countries, and oftentimes nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flying under the radar. And of course, he is a KGB agent, and there's a lot of secrecy. There's a lot of safety concerns, but he's also obviously kind of leading with strength and intimidation and violence out of perhaps a sense of fear of Russia's role in the world, or not being as much of a superpower as they have been in the past, or their fading influence, or the fear of NATO attacks. Things like this seems to be driving this invasion.
Right. And I think that his coldness, to me, comes a bit more from holding himself back, and more than his personality type. I think that the KGB background is what makes him look at times a little bit like a five, but I do think he's more anxious inside and tense, very tense in his body. And
And they say in COVID, of course, he was completely kind of retreated to a bunker. You know, he had no contact with no one. And of course, I think we mentioned in the last podcast, I had read about first-person accounts of people who had met him, American diplomats and officials, and they often said that when they met him many years ago, that he seemed kind of insecure. And so I think, you know, that six, the part of the six, when you're not in a position of strength, how they can be a little bit guarded and not really there.
Right, right, right. And you can see the mindset on attacking because I may be attacked, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, talking about this and talking about war, let's go back in time a bit just to say that I see that both Hitler and Churchill were sixes.
Interesting.
And I like to mention both together so that people understand that this is really not about being good or bad.
Right.
And for different reasons, you know, I studied a little bit, you know, the history and the stories of this, both this man, and read many books about it in the past. And some people say that Hitler was a social six, and it might be, but I think he was actually a sexual six.
Yeah. And now, maybe at this point we need to say to the sexual sixes out there, we're not trying to demonize you or sexual sixes. We're, you know, any type at a low level of awareness, really, really in ego or with a history that contributes to certain behavior can act out in these really negative ways. So don't think we're criticizing sixes or saying all sixes are bad.
Yeah.
I just think this is something that can happen when a sexual six is in a position of power and is coming from a place of fear or is in reaction to kind of a large scale collective kind of fear. And I think one of the reasons Hitler was allowed, you know, gained power in Germany when he did was in some ways because of the post-World War I, Germany was really, you know, blamed and a lot of power was taken away from it. And so there was a lot of economic deprivation and a lot of troubles going on in Germany, which I believe is a social six country, which kind of led to the rise of this sort of father figure who's going to, you know, right the wrongs of the past, which is a little bit the theme that Putin takes on when he's saying why he's doing what he's doing, is that sort of Russia was cheated in the past, or these bad things happen. This is sort of righting the balance of things, and as a rationalization for doing these really, really horrific things.
Right. And about Churchill, I think he was probably a social six with sexual repressed, I'd say. Mm-hmm. you know, that humor that he had at times. I think it's more the self-preservation second. And on the other hand, you know, he was all about, you know, engaging people in times of adversity. And that's pretty much what happens with type six leadership. You know, it grows when there is adversity.
So I think that I like that you bring up Churchill because he's such an important figure. And in some ways, he played a little bit of similar role to the role that Zelensky's playing right now, yeah. Right? Rallying the people in a way that really worked. How do you see him maybe different in terms of type, given that they kind of played a similar, very heroic role in rallying their people to fight against a really difficult, enemy?
So I think that Churchill was way more a strategist, very mental. And his speeches were not personal. Like he would really talk about, you know, the whole and mobilizing people against a threat, most of all. And when he praised, some generals and, you know, the soldiers, he did that, but he did that more from a perspective of the whole of the country and the whole of the war and the whole of humanity. And he was more about motivating people through being courageous and through really seeing the threats. And he was pretty much mapping out risks of all sorts and a little bit like Putin does, like being secretive when needed and, taking so many precautions, backup plans. But I could talk forever here. Mm-hmm. But I just really like to talk about Churchill because I've seen so many people saying he was another type and I have a somewhat stronger opinion about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of a World War II buff. I love learning about World War II, but I confess I don't feel like I have an expert enough opinion about Churchill to express one, but I'm very interested to hear that that's what you think.
Can I ask you, because you convinced me about his type, what is your opinion right now about Joe Biden?
I believe Joe Biden is also a social two, and hopefully we might be maybe even implicitly kind of pointing out that not all leaders are eights or sixes or threes, sometimes the types that we think are leaders. I think that social twos make really good leaders. I think Joe Biden is a two for several reasons. One is that he is often described by people who know him well as quite emotional.
And humane.
And humane. And he really tries to reach out and connect with people on a human level, on an emotional level. Of course, he's been through a lot of tragedy in his life, you know, losing his wife and daughter when he was young and early in his career. And they, you know, so he talks about grief, he talks about emotions, he connects with people through shared experience of emotion. I also think that he, if you look at him over the course of his career, you see some pride. And of course, social twos can be sort of some of the people who are the most prideful on the Enneagram because the social instinct, when it's dominant, lends a sense of pride and a sense of can be someone who is sort of a savior, wants to have a lot of influence. And two is the passion is pride. So it's a little bit like double pride for social two. And I think when you read about him over the course of his career, it's a little bit the story of him having been quite arrogant and prideful in the past. And sometimes making mistakes because of that, like not really understanding a certain situation, thinking that he knew best when maybe he didn't. And that over time, he's become more humble. And he's learned more to look at his mistakes and he's owned those mistakes. But I think he's, a lot of commentators say today that Joe Biden has a lower approval rating than he really deserves, because things are actually going quite well economically, given the COVID situation of the last 2 years. Although, of course, there's inflation and a lot of people respond to that, understandably. But he's trying to be very direct with people. You know, I think sometimes a healthy social too can try to sort of speak to people in language they can understand. We were saying that about Zelensky, considering the audience and really trying to build a bridge of understanding through empathizing with what their experience is. And I think you see him trying to do that a lot and trying to be very straightforward. I also see, I mean, again, this is, if someone is listening and they don't like Joe Biden, you know, I do like Joe Biden. I do see the efforts he's making, and it seems to me like his heart is in the right place. That he sometimes makes mistakes, but he's, you know, I see him often as having good intentions of like trying to help people, you know, and that being very central to what he wants to do and has wanted to do in his political career. And that he makes the case for that in those terms often when he's describing the rationale for different things he might want to do.
Yeah. And historically, I think that he had very good transit with, you know, Republicans and talking with them and in good ways, adapting and keeping a good communication channel.
Exactly.
At the same time, you know, praising people all the time for what they do,
right.
Engaging people in a very Jewish way.
Right. Now he's trying to be very inclusive. He has a very diverse cabinet, trying, you know, putting a Black woman on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I think he's really making good faith efforts to kind of do the right thing, you know, in terms of some of these on these different fronts.
Yeah, I just want to mention quickly that I think Kamala Harris is a sexual eight.
Ah.
I think that I've seen people say that she might be a three, and I don't see her shape-shifting at all. And I think that some of her, actually her challenges, is that she doesn't shape-shift
much. Yeah, and you're right. I've seen her as a social eight, but I think you're right. I don't see her necessarily so much in the role of protection. It's interesting. I thought in her campaign in the primaries, for some reason, I felt like she didn't do a good job as a campaigner. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it was running her organization or what it was, because I find her very appealing as a person and as a politician. But when she became Joe Biden's vice president, I thought she did amazing. It was very interesting when she was sort of in the role of supporting him and campaigning on his behalf and campaigning with him. Like I found myself moved to tears frequently when I saw her speaking. So it's interesting. I think she's an interesting case because for some reason her campaign didn't do very well, even though she seems to me like a strong, you know, speaker, that she's a lot of times her policies make a lot of sense. But she seemed to do a better job campaigning with Joe Biden. And I do think maybe the sexual eight mm-hmm. could explain some of what might be going on there.
And I think the kind of emotionality that she has reminds me a lot of the one that we see in sexual eights.
Mm-hmm. And she may sometimes have blind spots, and that may, you know, the eight denial, and that may be a little bit of what gets her in trouble at times.
Now, you and I agree that Trump was a sexual eight, and both of us get very, actually, triggered when we see people saying he's a three,
yes.
or even other types.
Yeah.
And I know we could talk forever about this too, but what would be your comments about him?
Yeah, to me, Trump is a really clear sexual eight. I've seen people say, well, you can't even give Trump a type because he's at such a low level of awareness. And there are other ways of saying that are a little less diplomatic. But I do think you can give someone a type who's at a lower level of awareness or displays, say, very egoic, low-level behaviors, you know, and I think, you know, we have levels of awareness model, so do Riso and Hudson, and I think by both of those, you know, I don't think either of those levels says You can't type someone who's at the one of the lower levels, although sometimes, of course, it becomes a little more complicated. But with him, I think it's really, really clear.
Yes.
I think, you know, and I wrote a blog about this, and we'll try to make this available on our website somehow. I wrote it quite a while ago, and I might try to update it, but I think it probably still holds true, and where I named all the reasons why I think he's a sexual eight. And again, I think when we're talking about famous people and what type they are, to me, what's both fun and instructive about it is making your case. You know, it's like, I don't need to be right, but the practice of kind of marshaling evidence for my point of view, for my opinion, that's the thing. It's like, if you can, you know, I've seen people try to marshal evidence that he's a three and they don't persuade me. I'm not influenced, and I can be open to being influenced by good arguments, but I just don't see him shape-shifting. He's always the same.
And he's a body type.
And he's a body type, and he's coming from the gut. You know, he's instinctive. It's a lot about winning. It's a lot about being better in kind of a brute force kind of way.
Yes. And he finds it really difficult to be empathetic.
Yes.
Right. It's like, he's not a hard type.
Really not capable of feeling the pain of somebody else. And he's really self-centered and operating in his own self-interest in a way that is, you know, just very, very basic in a certain kind of way. And you don't really see him expressing weakness ever.
Right.
Anything, any vulnerability, not even an apology, nothing. Mm. He seems to not be able to express any kind of humility, might be the best word, vulnerability. It's always, we're going to win. It's always, we're on top. And also, you know, making derogatory comments about the other guy, you know, sometimes in ways that are quite harsh, which I don't see threes doing. You know, I think threes tend to be, you know, they tend to be really oriented toward not offending people, you know,
and being more diplomatic
and looking good to the largest amount of people possible. And so if they can do that without offending, well, they will, you know.
Right.
And some people used to say that he's a three because he lies. Well, with Trump, I think his lies are not necessarily lies the way threes are in self-deceit. I think it's much more denial. Mm-hmm. I think it's the eight trait of the truth is what I say it is. They mix up the objective truth with their personal truth. And so he sees things the way he wants to see it, the way it serves him and his business and his bank account. And that's the way he sees things. And he doesn't ever express an ability to see things any other way. And so I think that's the eight trait that I see very strongly in him.
Hi, if you're enjoying the depth of knowledge offered in this podcast, you might want to stay in touch with us. Bi and Wadanyu offer professional Enneagram training, personal development courses, self-guided online courses, and they even have a membership platform with over 100 hours of content. Head to cpenneagram.com/podcast to learn more.
Right, and talking about eights, I want to mention three other world leaders that I believe to be eights. Viktor Orban from Hungary, Erdogan from Turkey, and Bolsonaro from Brazil. And I think Bolsonaro is probably an eight with the same instinctual sequence as Trump. Sexual eight, self-repressed second, and social repressed.
Yes, social repressed instinct is, a really important point to make about Bolsonaro and Trump.
Yeah, and I think some of my friends in Brazil, my Enneagram friends, they believe Bolsonaro is a sexual six. But I don't agree. I don't see him at all as a mental type. And although he goes against and he seems to be, I guess I could say, a bit paranoid at times, I think it's much more like, you know, pure attacking and being controversial and being, you know, not even at times saying or doing things that will favor him. And most of all, it's, you know, he isn't angry only when he's being attacked. And he has this body type energy. And I could say more, but I think it might be a bit obvious for people who see him and know him a little bit. Now, maybe we can also talk about someone who I know you and I don't agree. Obama.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You think he's a social 9 and I think he's a social 5.
Right.
Would you like to make one or two phrase case for it and I'll make mine?
Yeah, I think this is the only person we disagree on, or maybe almost the only person. And I see Obama as someone who is extremely diplomatic, who goes out of his way not to offend, sometimes in a way that's really good, that makes him very effective as a politician, sometimes in ways where I think he kind of holds his power back. Or goes for mediation or compromise instead of fighting harder for something. And so I see him as someone who really, there was a cover of The Economist magazine that came out when Obama was president. And it had a cartoon of Obama sitting at the desk in the Oval Office. And then a hand was coming through the window that was holding a pair of boxing gloves. And the message, of course, was that Obama's not fighting hard enough. He's kind of coming more from a place of peacefulness and wanting to reach out, of course, to people, but also very much not wanting to offend, which seems more nine-ish. Also, again, I apologize. I need to do more research and read more books that make me a more informed spokesperson. But I've heard people in reports and reviews of Michelle Obama's book that the way she depicts him is a little more nine-ish. Like he's the guy at the party who's kind of still talking to people when she wants to leave. He loves to play basketball with his friends, very oriented toward connecting with people. And I see him a little bit more connected and available than not, which makes me think he might be more of a 9. Also, I think he's got some of the biography of a 9, of a social 9, someone who always wanted to belong and sometimes didn't, you know, like being a Black man in a white family. Early in politics, he was sometimes described as like not Black enough for the Black community. So there are ways where I think he was sort of traveling in between groups kind of gracefully, but at the same time, that could be seen as, you know, something where he's kind of always in that social 9 position of not belonging and working really hard on behalf of a lot of people in part potentially as to try to belong and bring people together.
Yeah. I like your points, and social 9 is my second, hypothesis for him. But I still think he's a social 5, and it's funny because the way you described him could be a very similar description of who I used to be in my past. And I think that, and I'm a social 5. I think there is something interesting about social 5s. That they become, I see that as a pattern, they become very much mediators when they come to the top job. Mm-hmm. And perhaps not as much before that. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult for a social 5 to be that sociable when you know for how long you stay in a party. You know? And also, I think that he really looks like a mental type for me. But mostly, I got a big sense that he could be a social 5 when I read his biography. And that was, many passages, things that he talked about when he lived in Indonesia, when he lived in New York alone. And so, yeah, I think that that is my main hypothesis. But who knows, right?
Right.
Now, just a checklist of other Americans.
One more thing I want to say about Obama. I remember one time I met someone who knew him personally. And I said, what do you think is the biggest driver of Obama? And he thought about it for a little while. And then he said, doing the right thing. You know, so sometimes I did wonder about social one, but some people I know think that Michelle is a social one. So anyway, just to make it a little bit more confusing, but, yeah. But again, this is also emphasizing the part that we try not to be sure when we're not sure. And I recognize that I'm not so sure about him, and you could be right. He could be a social.
And player. I heard, especially in the past in my life, that something similar to like trying to do the right thing. I remember in the students' union in my university, that was what people told me about me. And I think that it's a bit more like trusting a lot your own opinion and having that and not finding that easy to go against your own opinion when it's...
when you have a clear vision.
When it comes to, clear visions. Now, checklist. Do you agree Hillary Clinton is a one?
Yes, I do. I think Hillary Clinton is a probably a social one. And I think it explains...
Maybe sexual?
Maybe sexual. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe social. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it explains why she wasn't very popular as a campaigner. Mm-hmm. I think a little bit like Al Gore, who might have also been a one. I think they... When it comes to campaigning, you sort of have to put on a fake smile. You have to kind of, it helps if you're able to shapeshift, you know, and I don't think ones, many ones, social ones especially, are very good at shapeshifting or showing up and putting on a show or acting like a certain way. I think, and so I think people end up thinking they're false. It's a sort of a sad irony for someone like Hillary Clinton is people end up feeling like she's a big liar, you know, and in my view, no one was more honest than her. Mm-hmm. The opposition was able to sort of put a picture forward of her as a dishonest person because she looked so uncomfortable trying to be the candidate.
Right, right. Bill Clinton, seven maybe?
You know, he's a tough one. I have his biography on my bookshelf and I haven't gotten to it. It's very long. I sometimes think either seven or two, either social seven or social two. And
what about sexual seven? Maybe
sexual seven. I think he's too practical and pragmatic. Okay. I think he'd have to be a self-pres or a social seven.
Okay.
Or a social two and maybe a sexual two. Mm-hmm. I was always struck by the things I heard from people who saw Bill Clinton in person. And one of them was a friend I went to graduate school with, and he was, kind of as cynical as the next guy, but he saw Bill Clinton in person at a political event. And he said the charisma coming off that guy was amazing. Yeah.
This is why I thought of sexual seven, actually.
But I think he's more down, his feet are a little more on the ground than the sexual seven who can be really in their imagination. But I did hear Bill Clinton once in an interview, someone said to him something like, how is it to be the smartest person in the room most of the time? And he said, oh, I don't think that's always the case. And he said, I have a particular kind of intelligence. And he said, I think I'm really good at connecting things that are different that people might not see could go together. And
which
like,
is
that's very
seven-ish.
Exactly.
I think he's a bit more self-referencing than our other referencing. This is why I think he may be a seven, not a two. But anyway,
could be.
It's just an opinion.
Could be.
And do you have an opinion about George Bush? Because most people say he's a six or a seven.
I think he's a self-preservation seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that there can be kind of a little boy quality to that one that he has. Just it being kind of about the people he knew. And I think he's sort of a good example of sort of that congenial, talkative playboy type a little bit that sometimes we see the self-pres seven. I think sometimes self-preservation sevens can also look a bit one-ish, you know, when they're a little more disciplined. I think he's sort of more the guy who you want to go have a beer with kind of self-pres seven.
Yeah. And we talked about Hillary Clinton being a one. Can I mention some other world leaders I think may be ones?
Sure.
I think that Margaret Thatcher is a great example one.
Yes.
Probably sexual one in my view. Mm. And Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
But probably, in my view, a self-pressed one.
Yeah.
And then someone I think is a current leader and a sexual one is Macron from France.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I I really see him as a sexual one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know him as well as you do. So that's interesting.
And we were talking about someone who I think it's difficult for us to say more clearly what we think she is, Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel, she
may be a 1 or 9. I think this is where we landed, right?
Yeah, I see here, the first thing that came to me was a 1 or a 6. You know, she was a scientist by training and of course, very successful long-term leader of Germany. And she just stepped down recently. And yeah, I see her as a 1 or a 6, but I definitely lean toward 1. I asked my brother who lives in Germany. He said maybe a 5, but maybe...
Social ones look like 5s.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Can be very intellectual, you know, as she is, and very rational. Logical, rational.
Yeah.
And she's German, so
yeah.
How much of that is being German also?
Right.
Yeah, and I think that Olaf Scholz is, first of all, he's finding it difficult to be a leader after, you know, so many years of Angela Merkel's mm-hmm. leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he is more of a head type than Angela Merkel, in my view. Mm-hmm. And I think he's either a 6 or a 5, probably a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a guess. I really, mm-hmm. I'm really not sure
mm-hmm.
about him.
Now I'm just feeling moved to maybe mention a few 1s and a couple other types that I meant to, when we were talking about 8s like Trump and Bolsonaro, I meant to mention that I always think that Martin Luther King, a leader of the past, the great civil rights leader in the U.S., might have been a social 8. And so I wanted to mention that when we were talking about that. And I think also sort of famous 1s from the past, Nelson Mandela, likely
my favorite leader ever.
Yeah. Yes.
And I tend to agree. This was probably
and our South African friends usually say that he was a social 1. Sometimes people say sexual 1. We sometimes talk about Gandhi as a sexual 1. Mm-hmm. I got an email from someone in India one time and saying that he thought he was more a social 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I could definitely be persuaded of that. Mm-hmm. You know, part of what I was going from when I thought sexual 1 was the movie about his life. And certainly directors will take liberties and emphasize mm-hmm. certain elements of the person's life. Like, you know, he was motivated by the anger around racism in mm-hmm. South Africa earlier in his career. But certainly I could see him as a sexual or a social 1.
Right, right. Yeah. And let me see if I have anyone else who's a 1. I think that potentially Theresa May, the last prime minister from in
the UK.
The UK. And I think Boris Johnson.
Yeah, speaking of UK prime minister, let's talk about Boris Johnson.
Really
I think we're very clear on his type. And he's a very clear self-preservation 7.
Yeah.
And I actually, there were some kind of funny articles about the recent Partygate scandal in the UK, in which during lockdown, when Boris Johnson and his government were, you know, telling people they had to stay home and not get together with loved ones, and people weren't able to visit their relatives in the hospital or see people, he was having parties and, you know, sort of very fun hedonistic parties with liquor and food and birthday parties. And so there have been sort of a series of scandals about sort of him having parties with his staff and things like that.
Yeah.
And just his general demeanor and the way he's always been and how he came up. He used to be a journalist, right? Originally.
Yes.
And sort of the level of self-interest, but also his personal style of being kind of funny, but
a bit arrogant.
Sometimes lacking focus.
Yeah. Very mental.
Yes.
But extremely persuasive and, you know,
especially
charming
around certain things. Yes, charming, fun-loving, all of these things.
Another 7 to me is potentially Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Hmm.
And at least in interviews I saw of her,
mm-hmm.
both in content and also communication style, body language, I think she's great, by the way, and how she managed COVID times was amazing, in my view.
You think she's a social seven?
I think that she's social, social seven.
And what about Xi Jinping in China? I think we said he might be a self-preservation eight, or our friends in China said that?
Yeah, our friends really see that. Because I think we see more in the West when he talks to the West, and he looks like a nine, but internally they see him as a self-pressed eight, really, you know, directive and, you know, but I wouldn't rule out completely self-pressed nine. Because self-pressed nines can look very eight-ish.
That's the feeling I sometimes get. But of course, I don't know as well him as well as our Chinese friends.
Right, right. Yeah, and let me see who else I have here. This was fun to think of.
you made a big list.
Yeah. So I just want to mention that another six, in my view, is Lula from Brazil, da Silva.
Oh, interesting.
Who might become president in Brazil again. And by the way, just for reference, we are recording this episode. We should have said that this in the beginning, in May 2022. So I think Lula is a six, probably social six. But yeah, that's my view with a big arrow to three. But anyway, and I want to mention some leaders that I think may be threes.
Ah.
Yeah. So one of them is El Sisi from Egypt, according to our friends in Egypt. Possibly a social three, and the way he came to power and he stays in power, you know. But also, I think that, you know, this very interesting prime minister from Finland, I think, might be a three, Sanna Marin.
She's very young.
Very young. I think she might be a three.
Yeah, I don't really know much about her.
I've seen people say that she's a one, but I think she's a hard type, and I think that she is really...
Maybe a self-preservation three?
Image aware, possibly. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm really not sure, and we should talk to our friends and invite our friends from the Enneagram in Finland to say what they think somehow. And Mario Draghi from Italy, potentially a three, maybe even a self-pressed three, but you know, he's very technical, but anyway.
So I want to mention Prince Charles, since we're recording this in the UK, in London, and I think Prince Charles is a four.
I agree.
Maybe a social four. Yes.
Yeah.
So a good example, I think, of a social four leader.
Yeah.
And someone who is very concerned about the environment, who can be a bit melancholy, who can be serious in a certain kind of way. That's and sometimes a bit, you know, sort of being able to see or express the sad part of life, very dedicated to the environment and climate change and things like that, in a way that's very idealistic, the way fours can be.
Right. Yeah. In The Crown, I think it shows at times how he's probably a social four. And
I was listening to a podcast recently, an interview with Tina Brown, you know, who's a journalist and was, you know, editor of various magazines. And she's a specialist on the royals. And she has written a book, at least one book, on the British royals. And she described Charles as he can be kind of an Eeyore, you know. And of course, Eeyore, the donkey from Winnie the Pooh, who's a pretty clear social four.
yes. And talking about fours, I think that one person who may be a four, I think a self-pressed four, is Justin Trudeau from Canada.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he's a hard type.
I think he's a hard type too. That's the first thought I had is maybe three. But I think sometimes self-preservation fours...
Yeah.
In a work setting or in certain roles can look like threes.
Yeah, I think he's more out of the box than Threes.
Exactly.
I think he
champions causes that can sometimes be like kind of coming from a very humanitarian impulse.
I don't see him pushing emotions away as much as Threes do. I think he may be a bit more like a Four. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he is a bit more contained as a Four, perhaps as a self-pressed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just making a case. I'm not sure at all.
Yeah, I don't know him. I wouldn't know him well enough to really express an opinion, but he's an interesting character.
Yeah, and I didn't mention Polish President Duda, who I think may be a Three, but also not sure at all. But back to the royal family. Mm-hmm. I want to say something I consider to be interesting.
The British royal family.
I think that both Diane and Meghan are sexual Twos.
Ah, interesting.
And interesting that they were the two women who did sort of similar things when it comes to royalty.
Mm-hmm. And they were a little bit out, you know, not fully embraced by the royal family.
Yeah. And I think Camilla, Charles' wife, is also a Two, but a social Two.
Interesting.
That's my...
I've heard people type Diana as a Four or a Six. Mm-hmm. But I think sexual Two may also make sense. You know, it's sort of like she really bought into the fairy tale of her romance with Charles. And then, of course, it didn't turn out well, and how heartbreaking that could be for a sexual Two.
I don't think that she showed that she was heartbroken as much as a Four or Six would.
Right.
And anyway, and I think that William.
Prince William.
Prince William might be a Nine, potentially a social Nine.
Interesting.
While his brother, Harry, I see as a sexual Five.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I don't know enough about them to express an opinion, but that's, I get that.
And then Kate, to finish with the royal family, and I think with all my list, I see as potentially being a sexual Three.
Ah.
You know, Prince William's.
That has a ring of truth to it. Although, again, I don't know her well enough to express an opinion.
Yeah. In South Africa, President Ramaphosa, I think maybe is Six, just to end my list here. Mm-hmm. But anyway, is there anyone we didn't talk about that you wanted to be?
I can't think of anyone. I'm thinking maybe a little more of the Americans, because those are the ones that I know best. But I'm not thinking of anyone in particular that we haven't mentioned. I think we covered a lot of territory.
From the Middle East, in the past, I think Saddam Hussein was an Eight.
Yeah.
Possibly a self-pressed, I don't know, or sexual. And Muammar Gaddafi. Possibly a sexual Eight, but sometimes I question if he may have been a sexual Four.
Interesting. And I think our friends from Egypt said that Anwar el Sadat was a social Three, another Three in that country. So that's interesting.
Well, I hope this has been as interesting to our listeners as it was for ourselves.
Yes. One last question that just popped into my head. What type do you think Netanyahu might be?
Good question.
Maybe the former Israeli prime minister.
Maybe a self-pressed Eight? What do you think? I'm not sure at all.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. It just popped into my head. He'd be someone that I think we should research, and because he's been in the public eye for quite some time, and there's been a lot that's happened with him in different things, and there's of course he's been involved in scandal also. Yeah.
But I think that the way he grabs to power and manages being in power
reminds me a
little bit of the Eight thing, although it can be just being a politician, you know.
And, but he did stay in there for a long time.
And I think Israel may have a collective culture that is more Eightish, so we may be biased here.
That's true. All right. Well, this was fun. Hopefully we didn't piss off too many people, and hope people can take this as just kind of an interesting exercise in putting forth our best guesses about what world figures are. Sometimes it helps us understand politics and current events a little bit more if we can kind of speculate about what these really important world figures, what their type is, what their subtype is. It's time for our top five.
What is our top five today, Bea?
Today, our top five is the top five types that we think are most likely to be ideological or political radicals.
Both to the left or to the right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're what part of the political spectrum they're on. This is people who have a tendency to be radical, promoting radical change or radical ideas, you know, something that's not in the center, let's say. So radicals, top five political or ideological radicals. So do you want to start? What's your number five?
My number five is type one. You know, I think that ones can be radical at times, but, because they are careful and, you know, they don't want to show as much anger many times out there. I think that they are not the most radicals in terms of tendencies, but I do think that they have this tendency more than some other types, like nines or perhaps twos or other that I didn't include here.
That makes sense. This is kind of a hard one for me, you know, because I think I could make a case for almost any type being a radical, maybe not so much nines, although they could probably be two. Type five as my number five, because on the one hand, I see that, you know, they can be very ideological, you know, kind of like you can be, but very intellectually committed to a cause or a point of view, and it can be a radical one. And they can be, there's a great movie. It's kind of esoteric movie. It's about the World War II, and it's about this young woman who was a young German person during World War II, and actually is part of a student movement that went against the war within Germany. Mm-hmm. And she was actually imprisoned and put to death. Mm-hmm. And there's a movie about her life called, Sophie Scholl, and she's a five. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be a great example of, she's so committed, and a lot of the movie is her kind of having these really sophisticated arguments with one of her German Nazi captors. And she's very committed. I think she's probably a social five. So I think that's
maybe I should have included five. You sort of convinced me.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking the same thing. I don't have ones on my list, but you kind of convinced me. Maybe I should have included ones.
What is your number four?
My number four, interesting, I didn't plan it this way. My number five was five. My number four is four. I think fours can be big time nonconformists. They can, when they see a truth, and they can be very passionate about what they see as the truth and sort of promoting the truth and going against the authority if they believe in something really authentically and deeply. So I had four as my number four. What about you?
My number four is seven.
Ah.
I don't think that sevens have a natural tendency in them to become totally radicals. I think they consider other opinions more easily, and they rethink very often what they think. But in practice, I know several sevens who are more radicals, but I wouldn't say it's the type that I see being that the most. And I tried on this list to really consider people I know in different places. So I think that sevens are my fourth because of this. What is your number three?
My number three is eight. And I sort of see eights going both ways. I think eights can be radical. I mean, we're certainly seeing some radical eights on the world stage today, maybe more on the right in terms of, you know, wanting to take power, be authoritarian, you know, we're not going to have elections anymore. I'm just going to be president forever kind of thing. some radical movements in that way, maybe like a social eight, you could see it being in service of protecting people, proposing a radical agenda. But I also think sometimes eights can be in favor of bolstering the status quo. you know, of creating, of staying with order. You know, they tend to be more on the side of creating order versus chaos. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think they seem to cut both ways. But I see some eights out there in the world now who are proposing some radical things. And so they were my number three.
Yeah. And just to mention one thing, I think that in the past, there may have been other eights who were radicals more to the left, like Stalin.
Or Karl Marx.
Karl Marx himself.
Yes.
And by the way, I think Lenin may have been a five, but I'm not completely sure about that, of course. Now, my number three is type six. I think that sixes often become political radicals. But it's that in practice, I also know several sixes that go against radicalism. You know, so I don't think it's the type that becomes the, you know, more often radicals. But what is your second?
My second is seven. I had them a little higher than you. I think of sevens as, you know, out of the box thinkers. I think they can tend to be very rebellious. Sometimes they don't show it. But I also think they can be very reactive when it comes to feeling like their freedoms are limited or when it comes to imposing their self-interest. So I think there are a few different dimensions, few different attributes of sevens that I could see making them radicals. And they can also be very mental, like getting completely mentally behind a cause or a point of view or a outside the box idea or a vision of how things should be. And I think they can marshal a lot of energy behind those points of views in certain situations. They can get behind an ideology and then rationalize that's the right thing. So sevens strike me as types that can definitely be radicals. And I think social sevens, I didn't single out a subtype, but sometimes they have a very utopian worldview, and sometimes types that are tend to have this utopian worldview, like if the world was just this way, everything would be better. And in a more extreme circumstance, that can turn into radicalism.
Yeah, I agree with your points. But my second is type eight. I think, you know, I don't have much to add to what you said when you mentioned eight. I just see that many eights can become radicals, and it's easy to understand. Like eights go to extremes on one side or another. Yeah. It's harder to be in the middle path for eights.
Yeah.
Now, I am assuming what your number one is.
Yes.
But tell us.
Yes, I'll be interested to hear what yours is, because you already said all the types that I think could be your number one. Yeah. So you probably know my number one is six.
Yes.
I think sixes, they can, you know, think in ways that really go against. They can think in ways that are very ideological, very committed to a cause. Sometimes it's about, they can be very much on the side of the underdog, and they can be, you know, quite rebellious. They can be quite contrarian. They can, and it's often... Sixes, it's not coming from a place of self-interest often for sixes. It's more in a play sort of going against some authority or some way that things are the status quo, for a cause, for a reason. And again, get very dedicated to that, to a particular point of view, and act very, very much in favor of a particular point of view.
I also take your points. Maybe six could be higher in my list, but my number one is four. I see in practice, you know, so many fours that sometimes all of a sudden become more radicals. Sometimes I feel like a tendency for them to feel unique or more dramatic, you know. But I think it's a especially sexual force. Perhaps not as much the self-pressed four. I see many self-pressed four, more moderate. but not all of them. I think that it's split. I mm-hmm. see also many self-pressed force who become radicals mm-hmm. and socials, perhaps more to the radical side politically mm-hmm. also. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's just what I see in practice in my sample. Mm-hmm. And I think it feeds the four personality to, you know, to right. think in a bit more radical terms.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. So it sounds like we had the same four yeah. types, except yeah. for our number five exactly. position where you had one and I had five, but yeah. we just had them in a different order.
Exactly. And just changed for the our number five.
Yeah.
Five and one.
Yeah.
Okay. This was fun.
Yes, it certainly was. So we hope you'll join us again next time for the Enneagram 2.0 podcast, where we talk about all things Enneagram.